I think that really symbolizes the fact that everyone, all 7 billion of us, are together in creating and constituting this United Nations, enabling it to be strong and thereby assuring themselves a world, both physically in terms of a planet and cerebrally, if you will, in terms of opportunities, that is worthy of our times.
Is the UN stronger today than it was when it was formed?
I think it is. And I think it's also important to realize that it is stronger because of itself. One of the fundamental principles that the UN was based upon is democracy, and the acceleration of democracy in various parts of the world and the fact that people have been more responsible for their own governments has transferred, I think, to the international system as well, including the UN. And it's also important, Derek, for us to realize that the achievements and accomplishments of the United Nations need to be looked back upon as harbingers, if you will, for the future.
And of course, as you are aware, the UN was formed after the Second World War.
That's right, yes.
Now, has it changed over the last 70 years?
I think it's changed in three principal areas. First, it's become very much a people-centric organization, an organization really of governments and member states. Itself has acknowledged the importance of the global citizen, so to speak. The second is that the United Nations has become much more integrated. It was a diverse set of offices and agencies, but now they're really working together in pursuit of what we could call human development goals, sustainable development goals, millennium development goals, call it what you will at what period of time, but they are goals that are universal. And I think the third way that the UN has really changed is that it has brought into being a relevance to the most personal aspects of an individual's life. Let me give you two examples. When you grew up in South Africa, would you have imagined that one day all the 193 nations of the world would declare an International Day of Jazz? I, growing up in India, had a fairly misbegotten experience trying to learn and practice yoga, but I was a great admirer of yoga. Would I have imagined that one day 193 nations would get together and declare an International Day of Yoga? So this intimate relationship, if you will, of the United Nations into the everyday lives that people like you and I lead, I think has been an important transformative element.
So that's what you mean by people-centric?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you think that Trygve Lie, the organization's first Secretary General, would recognize the UN as it is today?
I don't think so, but I think that's through no fault of Mr. Lee's. Frankly, when I joined the United Nations for the first time in 1989, I would not have imagined the tremendous geopolitical changes that we witnessed in the early 1990s. But having said that, I think all of us would have recognized that if these changes were to happen or be possible, they would in large measure have been because of the impetus exercised by the UN. The changes in our own two countries, for instance, both South Africa and India, are founding members of the United Nations. And the United Nations was responsible for what was the decolonization of India and later the decolonization of large parts of Africa and Asia. It was responsible for the ultimate end of apartheid in South Africa, for the liberation of Namibia, and so has played a role in this acceleration, if you will, of the pace of change. So I think Trygve Lie may not have recognized the precise changes that we have today, but I think he would have recognized that if these changes were to happen, it would happen because of the UN.
Now tell me about the celebrations that will be taking place as we approach the 70th anniversary of the UN.
I'm a little wary of using the word celebration because it's more an introspection. I think what we're trying to do, Derek, is to try and mold all the planned activities for 2015 in the light of the 70th anniversary. The major global thrust for next year will clearly be the General Assembly session of 2015, which will define the post-2015 development agenda, which the Secretary General has already said will have to be inclusive, it'll have to be agile, it'll have to be determined, it'll have to be coordinated. So that global response to people's needs will, in a sense, be both a looking forward and an accumulation of the experience and wisdom that we have garnered over the past 70 years.
And what do you think the UN will look like 70 years from now?
I would really say in many senses, it will be an enhancement, if you will, of what it is now, in the sense that more and more problems of a clearly global nature will be assigned to it. I think fewer and fewer governments will want to go it alone, or even in more bilateral or regional settings, because the worldwide implications, both of what they're doing with themselves and with each other, are going to become much more manifest. The fact is that you need global solutions for global problems, and those solutions have to be globally arrived at. You cannot leave anyone out.